This evening, we're continuing on in our worldview conflict series, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandments. The topic of why godly leaders disagree, and then common fallacies that we should avoid, is generated some stimulating discussions. And as a teacher, that really makes me happy to hear about conversations, people asking questions, being stimulated by the application in their lives about their own personal experiences. Finding a topic and then generating some discussion and thoughtfulness is really something that every teacher ought to strive for students. Otherwise, we bore people to death, and then they're not listening anyway. They're not learning. And that's why I get so excited. Look, we got a teacher here. Yep. You know, when you're connecting with students or an audience, that feedback goes both ways. And so I really am appreciative of the stimulation that this topic has generated. Stimulating thought and discussion makes for fertile ground for learning. And learning is what we've been really focused on here in the last couple weeks. People who dismiss the value of education or the training of their minds are a threat to free and open environment of discussion and learning. Think about that. Isn't that an interesting thought? People who dismiss the value of education, why would that be? Well, that's because ignorant people are easier to manipulate. That's why. You keep people in the dark. We saw that happen in the Middle Ages. We don't want people reading the Bible. We don't want people being educated. We want them to do as we tell them, to think as we tell them. The thinking of such people advocates for ignorance and censorship, and that's what I'm going to be dealing with tonight. Whether it's knowingly done or unknowingly, oftentimes we get into advocating for things we actually stand against. I got a couple of examples for you as we go along here about that. But we live in a time right now when learning how to learn, how to discern truth, and how to think well are necessities for making good decisions. We cannot rely on the momentum of a Christian culture to tell us how to think anymore. It doesn't work that way. That might have been fine a generation ago, but that doesn't work well today. And that's in part because of the information that's so easily accessible on the internet. My first experience with that here at the church was probably about 6 years ago. After a sermon, I had a college student come up and fact check me. So he's sitting there thinking, well, that's not right. But I appreciate him coming up and showing that information to me, because I was able to point out the context had nothing to do with what I was talking about. This is why it's so important to learn how to discern. It's important to learn how to think well. Otherwise, we go down the wrong channels of thought, the wrong paths of thought. Knowing how to recognize reliable information and recognize good thinking, and both of them are needful. You need reliable information, you need good thinking skills. They're essential for our times. Good decisions are only as good as the information that we have. Now, having good information doesn't mean you're making good decisions about it, but you're not going to make very good decisions with bad information. We need God, We need His Word. We need His Spirit. We need His church. We need His wisdom. And we need our surrender to Him to study, to show ourselves approved unto Him. And when I hear someone dismissing learning, I know that they've fallen victim to the fallacy of sufficiency. Now, what is that fallacy? Well, the fallacy dismisses the value of learning things, some things, because they have already determined that what they know is sufficient, and what's good for them is good for everybody. And as I've said before, you can never know too much. You can know too little, but you can't know too much. And for this reason, I'm a very strong proponent of education and of learning. And I appreciate people who specialize in specific areas to develop expertise in their understanding of some things. And why is that? Because nobody can know everything. Amen. And so we have to rely on people who develop expertise in various areas because we can't do it all. So it's reassuring, really, to know someone, know that, hey, there's someone out there who we can trust in particular who knows what we don't know. There's so much information flowing into our lives and so much information available to us that it's impossible to process all of it. We can't do that. There was a time when your only source of information were your community authorities, which was few in number. Back in the day, like your preachers, doctors, lawyers, teachers. There was one community newspaper. That's what our town had when I was growing up. And there were your neighbors. And that was pretty much your source of education or information. And if you wanted to really know something, you had to wait until school started so you could ask the teacher. Now we have access to information 24/7. Next Sunday morning, first half, I'll be sharing some information about the AI dilemma or really the challenge and just how smart it is. But anyway, we have instant access to information, all kinds of information right now, from anyone, from anywhere in the world. Billy Bob can post his articles and commentaries from the fields of corn and whiskey. Slick Willie down there at the car lot, he can post his insights and commentary on what's going on in the world. Anyone can post commentary. Anyone can post news and podcasts. And Newsy Ned can post his insights and commentary online. And if you don't like what one guy says, you can find someone else. Because ultimately, we are the authority of what's true, right? And so we just find some expert who agrees with us, and now we have the experts on our side too. Is that a good thing? This is a very good thing. And I hope that I want to say it that way just to bring attention to it. This is a very good thing because when everyone can speak, everyone can think and choose for themselves. The legacy media, you know what the legacy media is? The legacy media is what has been, and that's the few media outlets of news that told us how to think and what news was important. Because of all the stories in the world that can be chosen, there's only a few they can publish in the newspaper. Not even a fraction of 1% of all that could be published. They choose the stories that they think are important for us to know. And not only do they tell us the stories, they tell us how to think about the stories. And by opening up the world of information here, the legacy media of a few have lost their monopoly on controlling information. That is a good thing. They've lost their control over controlling the narrative of how people should think. Freedom to speak. freedom to broadcast and to think are signs of a free society. Censorship and controlled information is a sign of a manipulated population. It's dangerous to live in a nation that determines for you what is good information and what is bad information. And likewise, it must be said that it is dangerous to live in a community which is flooded with misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation. Misinformation is, well, it's a mistake, it's erroneous, wasn't necessarily intentional. Disinformation, intentionally wrong to mislead you. Malinformation is bad information designed and with the intent to hurt, do harm. Well, that even happens in the church when you got gossip going around. That's malinformation destroying people's reputations. Now, that's not good to have all that bad information out there, but it's worse for someone to control your information and tell you, this is how you need to think about it. This is the information you need to have. It's dangerous and challenging to sift through information to find truth, but at least you have the opportunity to hear the other side and make up your own mind. Well, neither situation is good, is it? But one is better than the other. Controlled information prevents correcting bad information because it's controlled. Liberating people to be able to speak, anybody to speak, liberates them to think for themselves if they want, and to correct bad information and bad thought. And we know this from the scriptures that Jesus is all about liberating souls in every way. We know that Satan is all about controlling us in every way possible. The biblical worldview is all about freedom. The humanistic worldview and Satan's worldview is all about control. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 4, and we've done an extensive lesson on this before, but I want to raise this up in this context. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan is the God of this world. He's the father of lies. His tactic in this world is to control information and to pump out misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation. And this is how people are deceived and how people are controlled to make wrong decisions. Censorship itself is just one way to control people. Another way to control people is with information overload. And how does that work? Well, information overload causes thought paralysis and inaction. Don't know what to do with it. I got so much information. When you're overwhelmed by information, you can't process it, either due to the information being incomprehensible or being too much in detail or being contradicted by opposing views, and then you feel stymied. I don't know what to think. You feel uncertain how to think about the information. You feel uncertain how to determine if it's reliable. You feel uncertain about what to do about it anyway. And this is something that results in anger and frustration. Because you feel overwhelmed and you see, I need to do something. This is important, but I don't know what to do about it. I can't sift through it all. Information overload also leads to dependency for someone to tell us what to think, because we resign ourselves to the fact that, well, there's no way I can figure it all out. Living in a world of information overload isn't ideal, but it's better than someone forcing you or manipulating you to think a certain way. Recently, there was a debate about who should be the House Speaker in the U.S. Congress. Now, the journalists, the liberal journalists, the globalists, were really all excited about this because in their political world, this was a way to attack and really exaggerate the division and the problem. And, hey, we've got our opponents. They're in disarray. They're falling apart. They're fractured. Plus, anger and disagreement sells more news, makes more money. Among some conservative leaders, there was a lot of dismay over the discord as well. The advice by many was stop debating. One commentator that I really like and I listen to frequently, he got on the bandwagon and he starts talking about how these are idiots up here. What are they debating about? They shouldn't be doing that. They ought to be showing unity. Now, what was rather interesting about that is he was contradicting his entire philosophy. In years I've been listening to him about freedom. He's all about freedom. Now he's telling them to shut up. Debate is a good thing. Debate means that there is the exchange of ideas and the ability to critique those ideas until the best ideas or negotiating points are discovered. Debate is the only way for people to test the soundness of ideas. Now, that might generate some, I don't know about that. And why would that pause occur, that hesitancy? Because usually when we think in terms of debate in our culture, we're thinking about hate, anger, lying, and deception, right? Being mean. That's not debate. That is a separate issue. Debate is the exchange of ideas. Well, you can call it discussing, you can call it talking, you can use the words, you can use semantics and definitions, but it comes down to the same thing. Debate. If you're on a debate team, you ever watch debates, professional debates? Do you see people yelling and arguing and being mean and hateful? That's debate. The emotions that get generated, the anger and all the lying and everything that goes on is what's bad. But debate in our nation is a sign of a healthy, free democracy. That's what Christ is all about, freedom. But the anger and the lying that goes on in public debate going on in our world today, understanding our times, reveals we have proof right there that we need debate. I'm not talking about shouting and being angry. I'm talking about we need debate. That is a sign of freedom. We don't want controlled information censorship. The debate about the Speaker of the House was a good sign. It symbolized the freedom of speech we hold dearly here, that we hold dearly in Scripture. The debate forced negotiations. The debate ended up being a very good thing. The anger and the lying was not good. Well, that just, you see, those two different things. Debate is different than the emotions involved. We lose sight of that. And we don't understand our times correctly when we don't recognize the difference. In a world of lost souls running government, anger is to be expected. It would be shocking if it wasn't there. And in a world of deceptive journalism and lost pumping out news, hyping disagreement into conflagrations that are not true. That would be surprising. The emotions and the passion involved in debate is really fuel for persuasion and making money in media. But it's a poor substitute for rationality and good decisions. Our population today shows the characteristics of widespread information overload. And the evidence is easy to see. We live in an angry world. People are frustrated. Many people feel helpless to know what to do or how to think. Many are fearful because of not being able to know and understand what's really going on in the world. And for Satan, and being the god of this world, fear and anger are two of the best emotions he can generate and take advantage of in our population to deceive us. Fear and anger are emotions that make people vulnerable to deception. When Satan can move people into an emotional disposition, then rationality is diminished. Because now we're making gut-level emotional decisions rather than thoughtful decisions. So at this point, I just want to bring out 4 points, because I've said quite a bit here in a little bit. I brought up several thoughts worthy of being summarized and worthy of being thoughtfully analyzed. First of all, Satan is deceiving humanity. It's going on right now. The Bible tells us this. All people, from businesses and governments, all information is questionable and needing to be verified. Ought to be held suspect. Secondly, our world has shifted from monopolized information to information overload. That's our culture. That's our world today. Third, information overload is the result of the internet making possible the free flow of information from anyone who wants to write commentary. And the fourth summary point here is free speech is necessary for free thought and for testing the credibility and soundness of information and ideas. Now, here's 5 more truths that about our world of disinformation. Knowing that Satan is intentionally deceiving us should persuade us that all information available to us should be scrutinized and thoughtfully processed. Yes, it is tedious. Yes, it is inconvenient. Yes, it is a pain. But thoughtful scrutiny is a necessity that is put upon us because of the world we live in. But there has to be some means of verifying truth. We must learn to discern, not only for ourselves, but for the sake of our children. We must give our children instructions and teach them how to develop the skills to find truth in this vast ocean of information. Whether it be evolution or globalism or any number of topics that students get involved to, these are oftentimes magnets or beginning hooks that lead people away from God. And we need to take that seriously. That's Paul wrote to the Corinthians, we know the devices of Satan. We should know them. Otherwise, we get duped. Learning to discern includes learning how to discern truth in the Bible as well. Knowing the Bible is inerrant and infallible truth does not mean all interpretations of Bible passages are inerrant and infallible truth. And this emphasizes my point of the need, the necessity to learn to discern. To discern truth, to test information, to train ourselves to recognize good thinking, to avoid fallacies that lead to wrong conclusions, and always verifying the source of information as well as always being thoughtful when reading or listening to information. Thinking about what you hear and what you read is a skill that's developed. You're not born with it. You're born to think, but you're not developed to think well. You're not born to think well. You can corrupt your skill of thinking by listening to bad thinkers and by neglecting to think about the information you hear. Good thinking is how to think correctly and to practice it well. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 explains this. It says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Here's another statement for you to think about, ponder. The problem in our culture is not with the abundance of information. It's inconvenient, it's overwhelming, it's a pain. The problem is the abundance of bad information. That's the problem. If we had abundance of good information, that would be great. That's why I say it's not the abundance of information, it's the abundance of bad information that we have to wade through to find the truth. But the solution is not to censor and control information. The solution is to learn how to think well and to discern truth without being angry or fearful, controlled by your emotions. Due to the free flow of information we have through the internet, responsibility to decide what information is reliable or not has shifted from the monopolizing cartel of a few media outlets to us. Now the responsibility is on us. And that means it's up to us to discern what is true in a world of a multitude of independent sources pumping out information and commentary. But this is far better and much better than relying on a few people to decide for us what news is important and what's true. Rather, it's better that we decide for ourselves who to listen to, what's important to know, and whether the information is true. That's something that we must do to live free and have freedom to put the gospel out. Understanding our times helps us to recognize that ultimately what Satan is doing and designing this culture is to eliminate and prevent the information that will save souls. And it's far better that we have the opportunity to pump it out into the internet, into a vast ocean of lies and deceptions, than to have it censored and not have it available at all. This raises the all-important question: are we capable of knowing whether information is true? And there is one sobering response, and that is, do we have a choice? In a world of free-flowing information, we must learn how to think well and learn to discern. It is imperative that we learn. It's the price of being free to choose what we believe. Learning to think well and learning how to choose what you believe is an imperative when living in a world designed to deceive. The alternative is to let someone else choose the news they deem worthy to know and believe. But this is not an option for those who understand that the father of lies and the god of deception controls this world. Satan's world is different from God's kingdom. Satan controls information. God allows information. Satan controls the decisions we make. God allows us to make our choices. And so, in summary here, of these five truths about our world of disinformation, number one, all information from all sources should be scrutinized thoughtfully, not thoughtlessly, and not emotionally. Number two, find reliable sources. There's too much information out here to analyze. We cannot keep up with it all. We need to find reliable sources, but always being thoughtful. Some of my favorite commentators, I absolutely disagree with them on certain points. And you should too. We can't be thoughtless about it and just accept whatever they say. Always be thoughtful. Biblical inerrancy and infallible truth from God does not make interpretations inerrant and infallible. Always be thoughtful. Learning the skill of good thinking is essential to recognizing truth and making good choices. And the fifth thing, the freedom to choose right requires paying the price of learning how to think right. So let me end with this question. Do you feel overwhelmed and helpless by all the news and information out there? I do. There's too much. I've narrowed my ingestion of news and commentaries and information considerably. There's just too much out there to keep up with. The complexities of the world and the ocean of information that is poisoned with lies are overwhelming and beyond comprehension. And this is why I mentioned this morning a verse that I was reflecting on out of 1 Corinthians 2:2. It's very comforting. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is one piece of truth that we can go to and find rest, to find peace. It's this one truth we can be confident in knowing. And it's this one truth that is so well confirmed in our hearts. Though we live in a world of lies designed to deceive, we can trust in God to guide us with truth to know Him. But that raises the question that I originally started 3 weeks ago, and that was, why do godly teachers disagree? We know that without God, there would be no way to know truth. And for this reason, it's very important for us to know how to learn to discern His voice, His word, and His truth. Knowing His voice will help us know the whole counsel of God, including the fallacies that make us vulnerable to being deceived. We must exercise our minds, and we must learn the skill of good thinking. We must learn fallacies to avoid so we do not fall victim to being deceived by the god of this world. And He's not just using the simple methods of deception. Satan is serious about what he's intending to do to prevent the gospel. He's sophisticated. All the more reason for us to take seriously the necessity for us to learn to think well. Amen? Amen?
We're glad you joined us for our services here at Mission Boulevard Baptist Church. If this program has helped you and you would like to have more information about trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you would like to have resources to help you in your spiritual walk and growth, please email us at the address on your screen. We look forward to having you join us again online, but you are always welcome to personally attend any of our services at the Mission Boulevard Baptist Church here in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Hi, This is Dr. Patrick Briney. I hope and pray this important lesson has improved your life. For more life-changing lessons and to get your free book that I've written for you, visit my website at patrickbriney.com. And please share this valuable lesson with at least three of your friends to enrich their lives in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll upload my next lesson for you soon. God bless.